He says, oh, are you going somewhere? Well, somebody already has. They've just gone. Must have known I was preaching. Yeah. It's funny. I just had so many thoughts in my head and wondered which way to go. And then I thought, oh, perhaps that's what the sermon is, which way to go. I had a scripture in Acts, which is really good. I wanted to preach on. And then I was thinking about strongholds in the mind and thinking about that and thinking about warfare and thinking about that and thinking, what am I meant to do, Lord? And he said, well, if you don't know where you're going, how about this? So I don't know if you can see the signpost up the top there. It says this way, that way, or another way. It's a very helpful signpost, isn't it? And are you going somewhere? It sounds a kind of obvious question, but I wonder sometimes in our lives if we know where we're going. Or we might think we know where we're going. See, I know we've not got too many younger folks in here, but Rue is just about to change direction because he's finishing school. So do you know where you're going, Rue? Where are you going?
Sussex Uni.
Sussex Uni. And what about after Sussex Uni?
No.
So Rue doesn't know where he's going. How about Ed, Traveller International? Where are you going? Next.
Not very far, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Elliot, do you know where you're going? What do you want to be when you grow up? Because you are grown up now. So what's your destination? You don't know. Okay, that's all right. There's no right answer here. No right answer. Joseph, what do you want to be? Got a direction? No, goodness. God, my daughter, when she was 7, she knew what she wanted to be. She wanted to be a doctor. It's interesting. And she trained, she works in a hospital. She decided when she got ready to go to uni, Dad, I don't want to be a doctor because I want a life. I don't want to spend the next 10 years working 100 hours a week. I want a life. But she had it very clear. And guess what? She's doing a doctorate right now, so she's going to be a doctor, but of theology. See how we can hear from the Lord and how he takes and guides our path and does different things with us, but it's given her a direction in life that she's pursued, and yet as she grows in the Lord, she's seeing how different that can look. So there she was working in a hospital, and she's just been offered a lecturing position at the Assemblies of God Theological College for a day a week. I mean, wow, it's kind of weird, isn't it? It's a different direction. And that was going to be in Nottingham, which meant her commuting from Liverpool to Nottingham. And she said, I don't think I'll do it, Dad. I said, don't give up on it, Ruth. Don't give up on that, because I think there's something here that God wants to do for you. And when we spoke to her yesterday, she said, oh, guess what, Dad? They've moved a bunch of students to Liverpool so I can actually lecture to them one day a week. So she's renegotiating her NHS contract now so she can actually move into this new area. Who knows where that's going to go? It's interesting though, isn't it? How God will shift and change things. But you've got to be moving. You've got to be moving. It's interesting, isn't it, that we learn one of the most significant Old Testament stories, and it's one that they have feasts to celebrate and remind themselves of what God was doing, that Abraham initially was called out to go to a land that he did not know, that ultimately he would be the father of a nation that God calls to say, I'm going to give you a place, a land flowing with milk and honey, which sounds very odd, but flowing with milk and honey. Can you imagine what that looks like? It's a very sticky place to live. A land flowing with milk and honey. And they were in slavery in Egypt. But he led them out, miraculously led them out. And it's about a 2-week trek across the desert. I will do this, and you can enter into this land. What an incredible destiny. You're a chosen people of God to show his glory so that the nations of the world could be blessed. That's what he said to them. That's what he said through Abraham. And they spent 40 years going round and round and round and round the wilderness. Because they didn't want to listen to God. So even though they were given a promise of a destiny, they didn't walk into it because they didn't listen to God. I love it that Jesus holds out a good promise to us, because he said, I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus actually talks pretty directly here about a destination that we have. And it might not be a physical destination, as in a place you can put a pin on a map, but there's a destination. And he says, I am the way. But what does he say? He's the way too. No one comes to the Father. So we have a destination, a home, that is a relationship with the Father God in heaven. And Jesus says, I'm the way that you go to do that. Here's how I put this verse about what I had it in my notes, and I thought I'll put it on the slide. It's one that people love to quote and love to bless people with when people are not sure where they're going. And God would say this to all of you younger folks. And so it's a good reason to go and ask him, actually. What is this? Because he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Gosh, I'd commend anybody to that. But if you're under the age of 20 right now, I'm wondering what God's doing. How about hang on to that word and actually seek him with all your heart and say, what is it you have in front of me? And I would encourage us as churches to be praying for our younger folks and encouraging them and sharing with them if we have things to encourage them in the direction of word. I'm not saying we give them, tell them they're supposed to be a fireman or whatever, but actually, you know, but encourage them in that walk, because the Lord says, I've got plans for you. I've got plans for you. I think it's amazing. And they're written in books in heaven. Do you want to read that book? Do you want to read that? Why do you think you can't? Have you ever thought of that? That you could access the books of heaven and ask what's written about your life or over your life? That's an interesting thought, isn't it? It's an interesting thought. I love it that we just started in Revelation. It's a big word, isn't it? A long word, Revelation. All it means is Jesus is revealed. This is Jesus revealing himself in the last days in a way that has never been revealed before. And he's speaking to the Apostle John in a situation where he'd been exiled to this place. He's pretty old. And he's seeking God. And he's showing to John things that were written and spoken of to his prophets hundreds and hundreds of years before. If you go back to Daniel and chapter 9, Daniel is having a conversation with angelic beings and seeing visions of the Lord. And the Lord says to Daniel, seal these things up, because they're not meant to be understood until when? Now. The end times, the last days. And then John the Revelator speaks of things in the last days. And if you look at the book of Daniel, you will see lots of things that are very common to what's in Revelation. And even Jesus refers back to Daniel's prophecy. Hundreds of years before Jesus, things have been spoken of that impact our lives now. And they're written in a book. And it's a book you can have. There's some on the table at the back. You can have it on your phone. That was fun, wasn't it, being at the conference, when they said, right, we're going to read the Bible, so switch them on. Or if you've got a real one, open it. It's just the sign of the times. But God says, I know I have the plans for you. And he says, come and seek me. Because he wants to show you. And how often in our lives do we go crashing around doing stuff, going from one thing to another, without seeking God and actually finding out what is he actually doing, what is he saying about my life? And we keep going round and round the mountain, wondering, where is God? Where is God in all this? And they went through, I'm not going to retell Israel's story. The horrendous things happened, and yet the faithfulness of God was there always, always, always. They turned against him. They worshipped idols. They still carried idols out of Egypt that they kept worshipping. And he still fed them. He still provided water. They moaned and complained. and said, we're fed up of eating this heavenly bread that you're giving us. Give us meat. And the Lord says, you want meat? You want meat? I'll give you meat. I'll give you meat till you choke on it. And they had quails just falling all over them, and they were sick of it by the time they had it. But they asked for meat, they got meat. So, one thing we need to do is listen for direction, not the signpost. The wrong way, my way, right way. Famous Frank Sinatra song that apparently he didn't like, I've read somewhere. And yet it's sung a lot at funerals. And I think, whoa, that's the most tragic song to have sung at a funeral. I did it my way. Ouch. Ow, 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 ow. What a horrendous song to have sung at your funeral. Because there's only one outcome of that. And it's not good. Isaiah. What an awesome prophet Isaiah is. I hope you love reading the prophets. Because right now, you need to know what the prophets are saying to us. Because we live in a time where the prophetic word is absolutely on the button for us, speaking into our lives. And here Isaiah writes, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. Is your relationship, is your heart so tuned that actually as you go about your daily life, and I mean daily life, not your long-term 10-year plan. Do you have a 10-year plan? No, okay. 5-year plan? 1-year plan? A month plan? You should look at my diary. Okay, if you have a plan, are you listening to God? And if we're not listening, we could get ourselves in a right tiz. We could be all over the place. But when you listen to him and see the opportunities he opens for you, it's amazing. And just follow the promptings of God. We had an amazing conversation with a couple from Chicago on Friday. We did a video, online video call. A divine connection from God. And if we hadn't been listening to the promptings of God, we wouldn't have made that connection. And they have a heart so much like our heart. And these are people we've never known, and we find we've got common friends, common people, common thinking, common vision. We were just speaking into each other's lives. How incredible was this? How incredible was this? And we're trying to figure out how we could meet up. They live in Chicago. It's not like we can say, let's go for a coffee in Costa, is it? We can continue to do video calls. But we just fell in love with these people in the space of an hour. Because it was a divine connection. And we don't know where it's going yet. So we need to listen to what God is saying. Otherwise we could waste a lot of time and effort in pursuing something that is not there for us. He always wants to lead you. He's always with you. He's always by your side. The Holy Spirit is in you. How much time do you spend listening and practicing listening to his voice? Because I've heard people say, I don't hear God. Well, he's speaking. And actually you do. It's one of the joys when we do Sozo sessions with people, which is the kind, it's not a concept, it's a counseling ministry, but it's a healing ministry. And we say to people, well, we're just going to trust God's going to speak to you. And we've had people come and say, oh, I don't think I hear God. I don't think I've ever heard God. We say, well, let's just pray and wait, shall we? Why don't you just ask, Jesus, will you speak to me right now? And you get this moment of quiet. And we only give them about 5 seconds or 10 seconds. And it, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. And they see a vision or hear something. Or sometimes it's like, well, it might be me, but I just had this thought, you know. How about when you're in the Spirit, when you're walking with God, you change your thinking to say, remember this, his Spirit is living within you. He said, I am always with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I've given the Holy Spirit to be your friend. I'm a light to your feet and a lamp to your path. Okay, so when you hear something and you start your day praying and giving your day to the Lord, when you hear something, you go, it's probably God. It might be me. Most of us go, it's probably me, but it might be God. But how about you listen to those promptings with that change of paradigm thinking? It's probably God. What would that do for you in your daily life if you still going following those? Probably me, just a random thought. So I'll ignore it, I'll let it go, and we'll see what happens. It's life-changing. There is only one way that leads to righteousness, peace, and joy, and it's through Jesus. computer's doing very odd things right now. But anyway. Faith ahead, don't panic, says this signpost. This is probably one of the best known pieces of the Bible. And we've had a go at learning it, haven't we? And you all remember it, so I could wipe it off the screen, you'd be fine. Because you've all remembered it perfectly. Psalm 23. And just catch his heart in this. Because if you're wanting to know that you can have a destiny and a direction to go in God, and if you, at an early age, your younger ones are here, just hold this one down. It's such a familiar psalm that sometimes we kind of flip it out of our head, you know, because it's read at funerals or whatever and stuff like that, and we kind of discard it. But it's a magnificent and incredible piece of God's word. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd guards his flock and leads them. I shall not want. Oh! What? I shall not want. Think of your emotional state, your physical state. Health, healing of the emotions, mental welfare, all the stuff the world is just falling apart for. And here is a promise from God, a shepherd who leads us where there's no want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You're not prepared to stop and listen to him. Tell you what, he's going to take you into a season where you're going to have to. So, you don't want to stop. He'll stop you. Because it says so here. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He knows when you need to stop, when you need some refreshing, and you've forgotten that you've not eaten today. Not physically, but spiritually. His sheep need fresh pasture. And he says, I'm going to make sure you've got it. And if you don't follow my leading and follow me into the pasture, then I'll get you in there. I'll put you down and I'll make sure that you're in the pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep are quite timid animals. I've only looked after sheep once in YWAM days. And you saw a few sheep in New Zealand, I dare say, yeah. But is it 20 times more sheep than there are people there or something, is it? Imagine all the lamb you're going to eat when there's 20 more sheep than there are people. Yeah, never mind. It's they're fairly timid. Sheep won't go and drink from a raging torrent of water. He leads us beside quiet waters. And there's a lot in the Bible about water and what the meaning of a quiet waters would be and how chaos is in the storm and so on. He restores my soul. Goodness, the world needs that right now. So why don't we be an example of that? And shine, because we've got souls that are restored. Here we go. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's a biggie, this one. So we want to believe that he is guiding us. And we need to know how he guides us. And one of the things that we've just learned by reading those first earlier verses, that we need to come to a place of rest and peace. Bill Johnson often says this. The storm you have authority over is the storm you can sleep in. And he talks about Jesus sleeping in the boat when there's a demonically inspired storm trying to kill him and the disciples out in a raging storm on Galilee. And Jesus sleeps in the storm. Why? Because he knew he had authority over the storm. Surprised the disciples hadn't figured that out, it seems to be, when they wake him up in a panic. And he goes, what's your problem? But he was at peace in the storm. And so storms, there will be storms around us, because sometimes the enemy wants to take you out. And so he'll create a storm around you. But Jesus won't let you into the storm if he doesn't believe that you know how to get out of it. How long do you want to be in the storm? It's up to you, really. At the point where you figure out that God's the way out, suddenly it's the way out. So the earlier we figure that out and turn to him and listen to him, the better it is for us. But we need to come from a place of rest and peace, because it's in rest and peace that you hear God. It's in rest and peace that you find the sustenance and the health that he's going to give you, that you can actually overcome the storm. So he leads me, guides me in the paths of righteousness. Right. He shows me, he leads me in what's right. The things that are right, that are good for my life. Righteousness is just a long way of saying doing it right in a godly way. But why? Why does he do it? Well, he does it because he loves his sheep, but then on the end of this sentence it says, for his name's sake. So why are you walking how you're walking? Is it for him or is it for you? Is it for him or is it for you? Because the very first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's it. There you go. And Jesus says pretty much that's it. That's what matters. He says seek first the kingdom of God. And so we need to come to a place where that's it. That's our focal point. Loving him above all else. And it's take me a while to understand that. But when we love God first, there is no second. You don't love God first and then love your wife next and then love the family next. And you just love God. And when the love of God is perfected in your heart, you will love everybody else. You don't have to count them in some kind of ranking. Just love God. Just love God. And you'll find you love lots of people you didn't even think you could love, let alone those you want to. But do it for him. Okay, so storms and trials. The enemy doesn't want you to prosper. We are opposed. But we are overcomers, according to the word of God, 1 John. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So there is a sense that there are times when we walk when this thing's going to be clouding over us and overpower and feel like, oh, this is too much. And it could be thousands of different things, because each of us will have something that is more meaningful to us than to somebody else. Something that would cause somebody else to feel it was a dark place, you might breeze through. But the converse can be true. But wherever your valley is, wherever your valley is, we fear no evil because he's with us. In Psalm 86, it says they go into the valley of Baca, place of weeping, and they make it a place of springs of living water. That's God, isn't it? So even the place of your weeping and tears becomes a place of springs. And this is a good example here, reflected here. So I don't fear evil because I know that God is with me. This is how you walk your daily life. It's not when you hit crisis, this is daily. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why the rod and the staff? There's about a million sermons out there on that one. But the rod can be looked at as a rod of correction, tapping the side of the sheep when they're ready to wander off the path, whatever. Just, or the sound. And the staff, the sheep can hear the sound of the staff as the shepherd's walking, pointing his staff down. And the shepherd's crook with a hook on the end so we can rescue and stuff. But a staff is also a thing, an item of authority. So when you recognize both his discipline and his authority, so that talks about the lordship of Jesus, doesn't it, really? Then it says you're going to walk through the valley of death. It's no problem. In fact, it's better than no problem, because this is what I'm going to do for you when the enemy comes at you like a flood. I love this. He prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How about that? He loves to rub the enemy's face in it. The enemy's having a go at you and he's going to go, do you know what? I'm going to spoil you silly right here. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to give you a makeover. We're going to do a spa day. The enemy's coming at you. We're going to do a spa day. We're going to have this fantastic meal. I'm going to give you a spa day. I'm going to anoint you with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Is that what you want? Loving kindness, goodness to be around you? Of course it is. Isn't it awesome if it's following you? Then everybody who's following you will get caught up in the goodness of God. This couple gave us a word. It was a bit like that on Saturday. It was funny. It was funny, but it was similar. I won't go into it, but it's in that way. All the days of my life, not Sundays, or just when I think about it. All the days, because he's faithful. He doesn't give up on you. And the last bit. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a place we are meant to live, and we're not waiting to go to heaven. We bring heaven to earth. You're already seated in heavenly places. You're meant to live from his presence. That's how you're going to find peace. That's how you're going to find rest, because you live in his presence. You know, we've been trekking with Bethel for a few years now, and it's one of those phrases that Bill Johnson would often say, it's all about his presence. And I go, yeah, amen. It's all about his presence. And about 3 or 4 years into tracking with, I go, oh yeah, it's all about his presence. That somehow it sank in. So we keep saying that kind of stuff and it'll sink in. It is all about his presence. It's about being with him. There's no place I'd rather be. I don't want to be anywhere else. When we have our times, we just get with the Lord and pray. I don't want to come out of the time. Really? Why would I? I could stay there. When I get visions of heaven, I don't want to leave it. I just want to stay there. Can we just stay here, Lord? This is kind of fun. No, I'm showing this for a reason, like John the Revelator. I'm showing you this for a reason, because there's some work to do. But that's how our life is meant to be. Living from his presence. So what voices are you listening to? I really need to hurry on, because my time is already gone. But there's no Sunday school waiting to come in, is there? So that's kind of fun. What voices are you listening to? Ephesians 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So I'll put up an end detour sign. Walk as children of the light. So it is possible to be distracted by the enemy. Don't listen to lies. It's the thing that I would say we fall into most. We listen to lies of the enemy. Oh, you're not good enough. You didn't really hear God. Oh, that word of prophecy, it was just a load of rubbish. You think you're special? You're just a sinner. You're a failure. You never amount to anything. And he's a lot more subtle than that. I'm being very obvious with the kind of lies that we get. Particularly if you just walk into an area where you sense God is doing something. You've just had an experience. We've just been away on a camp weekend. Dave warned us last week. It's really important. Just been away on the Revive week, and some of you were blessed and heard things from God and were prayed for. And the first thing the enemy will do is, did God really say that? First thing he'll do, did God really say that? Was that real? That was just your imagination, wasn't it? We very, very easily fall into the lies of the enemy. And our biggest danger is letting the enemy create strongholds in our mind. When it says our weapons are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, they're here. They're here in your mind. Things you don't believe will happen to you, or you don't believe you can do, or you don't believe because the word of God is not taking first place in your mind, but the stronghold is. And those strongholds are built up from childhood very often, through pains and hurts and things spoken over us sometimes, that you can't do this. Those strongholds take a place in our mind. And there's nothing more a demonic spirit likes than a stronghold. Do you know why? Because it's a safe place. Remember when Jesus talks about they cast out the demon and they wander through places and they're looking for, what does he say? The demon is looking for a place to rest. Imagine that. A demon wants a place to rest. Get out of the crazy world of the demonic, where they're fighting and battling with each other. And where are they going to find a place of rest? In a little fortress, a little stronghold, where they whispered into your heart, told you a lie. And I'm not saying you're possessed. I'm not saying that. But they take up a place of happy place of rest in a stronghold in your mind. And you become convinced that, well, that word of God is true for Ian and Ganil, but it's not true for me. Oh, well, when somebody gets healed, and I've been healed, we've seen people healed, so healing is real. I know it's real because it's happened to me. But then when we pray for someone, even while I'm praying sometimes, the enemy will be going, yeah, but you're not going to see this one healed. And if we're not careful, that will be a stronghold in my mind, and I will never pray for anybody. It's like when we're praying this morning, and some folks were praying for Steph. This is how it comes to me. This is a real example. I saw angelic fire angelic fire, I'll be clear about that, angelic fire falling on Steph. And I thought, shall I get up and say it? Do you know what I heard straight away? Just your imagination. I know well enough it isn't my imagination. So I got up and said it. And trust God to deal with whatever else it is. But if I listen to that once, then I'll listen to it again. And then I've suddenly become impotent in what God's telling me to do. Now, I don't know what the outcome of all that is. It's not my business to work that out. But so often we'll get paralyzed because we allow the enemy to take up residence in a stronghold in our mind. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Jesus has given you the tools to tear down these strongholds, often by standing together with people. Don't think you've got to do it on your own. But we all have areas of strongholds in our minds. And they get built up sometimes when well-meaning, lovely brothers and sisters come to encourage us with words that are not necessarily encouraging. So you need to learn to very graciously put those words aside and say, but the word of God says, and this is who I know I am, and you are all called with a destiny. You are a powerful and a strong and a mighty people. You are called with a purpose in this neighborhood. Following Jesus, you are called here for this moment, for this day, for this time. God saw from the beginning of creation that he wanted you here and now for his purpose in this place. That's the reality of it. You didn't just happen to bumble along and here I am. Because even though you might have been bumbling along and going round and round the mountain, God still had the destination and he got the people there. And they still messed it up a lot, but he still got the people there and he fulfilled his word. Romans 8:14. For all of you who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Know that's who you are. If you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, kick fear out. You have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Daddy! Abba, Father! The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, oh, there's one, that we also may be glorified with him. You are an heir of God. You are called with a calling that you share with Jesus Christ, because all of the goodness, all of heaven's resources that has been poured into him is available to you. Whatever he is now in heaven, it says in 3 John, as he is, so are we in this world. Your destiny is as true sons of God, true children of God, having all the resources of heaven to walk in what he's called you to be, to see his kingdom come here. We pray that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You're here to establish and administer the kingdom on earth. He trusts you with that. You go, what, me? Yeah, you. Why? Because he takes the broken and despised and unimportant things, because that's what he does. Takes the Gideon who's hiding in the wine press. Takes Samson. We were talking about Samson earlier. Do you think Samson, this was fun talking with Madeline there, do you think Samson looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger? We happened to have a conversation. Nah, just he had really long hair because it was never cut. And he probably struggled holding his head up because it was all the hair. But he was probably, you know, not particularly a great physique. Because his strength came from the Lord. We always imagine, you know, they get these Sunday school book paintings of Samson. You know, big six pack and, you know, I'm not saying he wasn't fit because he worked. There was a farming culture, although he was not in that. He was a Nazarite. He was, remember what his diet was? What he had to eat? What he had to do? Come on, this is not a six pack building diet. It's just a bit of fun. But the point is, you might look at yourself as unworthy. You might look at yourself as unimportant. You might look at yourself as not a great intellect. Or you might think, I've got a great intellect. It doesn't really matter. Because God has called you and has a destiny for you. And he's called you in this day, in this moment, to be who he wants you to be. He's saying, come on, get up, follow me, listen to me every day, let me lead you. And we'll do great exploits. This is what I believe is a word to the people of Broadfield, and we're meant to be the leaders of it. And it's in Isaiah 61. It's one of the verses or chunks of scripture that is much raised up today. And Jesus read it out when he got in, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news and to deliver captives and set prisoners free and to bind up the brokenhearted." Get that? That's the anointing on Jesus, of which you are a co-heir. Now, think about the people around us in this neighborhood. You know them well enough. Who are the brokenhearted? They're out here. The anointing is upon you to go out there and to see them set free. See them set free from strongholds of the enemy. See them liberated. See them come into the fullness of salvation. Even those who are not seeking God, as our scripture I read this morning, those who even don't seek him, he'll still get out there and do it. What a great God we have. Now, keep reading down, because Jesus said, "This is a favorable year of the Lord." He stopped there because he didn't want to say, "And the day of vengeance of God," because he had satisfied the vengeance, or he knew he would satisfy the vengeance of God. But you read on just a few verses, and he says, "To grant to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Wow, that's pretty cool. We'll have that one. Do you want to turn all the stuff that's rubbish and swap it and say, "Here it is, Lord, but we'll take all the good stuff. Thank you very much." It doesn't end there. So he says, the captive set free, the brokenhearted bound up, then they, who? The captive set free, the ones who are broken, they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. There are years and generations of desolation over our nation right now. We heard about some of it when we were down at camp last week. So Isaiah 61, 3 and 4. The nation, its walls are broken down. Its gates are destroyed. It's a desolation compared to what it is meant to be in God. And God says, "I'm going to raise up a people who will be the repairers of the wall, the restorers of what's gone before." Who are those people? They're your neighbours. They're the broken people. The ones that we would go, "Pah!" They can't even look after their own family. And God says, "Yeah, but look what I'm going to do." Do you want to be part of that? Do you want to be part of that kind of kingdom? I do. And listen to him. Listen to the voice behind that says, "This is the way, walk in it." Believe you have a destiny, and especially the next generation, looking at you guys. Most of what we're, Gil and I, are doing now, we know from the prophetic words we've had, it's about the next generation. Whether you are the generation that ushers in the kingdom of God and sees him return, I have no idea, but it's quite possible. It's quite possible. But only he knows that time. But everyone who's younger than us by 10 or 20 years, this especially, this is your time, it's your generation, and we're here to serve you, we're here to uphold you, we're here to help you stand on our shoulders, to lift you up, to pray for you, to encourage you, to enable you to be all that God wants you to be. That's our job. That's grandma and granddad. That's what we do. That's what we do. And God's equipping us and giving us gifts to do that so we can serve you. But be a people of destiny. Don't wander around, going round and round in circles, wondering what you're meant to do in life. Find the destiny of God for your life. Listen to him. Seek him with all your heart. Let's pray. Thank you, God. You do have a destiny and purpose, a call for us, that for each of us you have had, that you saw us from the beginning of time. And said, "This is what I would want for that person." And you intend to get the reward that Jesus is owed, because he paid the price to redeem it and win it back for us. Help us to pursue. Help us to listen. Help us to get close to you. to not be distracted by the cares of the day or the fears or the enemy's voice or the storms that come. But let's anchor down, hold on to you, find the place of peace, find your sustenance. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're the one who's come alongside to help us. You don't leave us alone. We don't have to grit our teeth and figure it out. We just love you. We just love you, love you, love you, and trust our lives to you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Lead us to the Father's throne. Give us visions of heaven. Fill us with your Spirit. Enable us to see the angels that are around, that we would not faint nor fear, but will be bold and courageous for the days that are ahead. In your wonderful name, Jesus, amen.